Man, today, getting back into this series of by faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is this confidence, but it's not just confidence, it's complete confidence and trust in Jesus. And faith is the key to receiving all that God has for you. It's by faith. And so today we're going to talk about receiving by faith. Today we're going to look at the account of Abraham and Sarah, and we're going to look at the story. And what I love about the story of Abraham and Sarah is you got to understand that the promise that was made to Abraham, listen, church, we are part of the fulfillment of that promise. Right, we are part of the fulfillment of the promise. So this story is special because it's like, you know, a lot of times you don't know, you don't see the fulfillment of the promise. Abraham doesn't necessarily see you and me here today, but we are part of that promise carrying on generation after generation. So if you think about it in that way, we are here worshiping today, lifting high the name of Jesus because of the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And so this is an amazing story of what they did by faith. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this. By faith, somebody say by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Obedience. Man, this is a tough thing. Who's going to be honest in the house of the Lord and admit that you got an issue with obedience sometimes? Obedience. Man, if we're being honest, we all have issues with obedience. If someone tells you to do something, we immediately take issue most of the time. You may not vocalize it, but internally at least, you're like, huh, wait a minute. And so I determined that there's a couple of things that are really key factors of whether we will obey or not. The first one is, do you agree with them? Right? Did you tell me to do something that I agree with? If I agree with it, there's a good chance I'll go ahead and do it. If I don't agree with it, we better go to number two. Right? Number two is, do you trust them? Right? Because you may not agree with it, but if you trust them, then maybe you will still be obedient. And if we're being honest, we all have issues with obedience. And if you tell me to do something I don't think is right, I'm probably not going to do it unless I trust you. If I trust you, then I may believe that you know something that I don't know. I may believe that you see something that I don't see, that you've experienced things that I have not experienced. And because of that, right, because of that and that alone, I may be willing to take the risk on my part, right? If I don't believe it, I'm taking a risk, right? I'm taking a risk, and so I trust you. I'm taking a risk, and I may do what you say to do because I trust that you're seeing something I don't see. Bud Carson is a good example. If I'm working on a project with Bud, right, and Bud says, hey, Tim, will you do this? Right, now if I maybe have a different idea, if I don't really think that's the right thing to do, which is probably not going to normally happen working with Bud, but say I have a different point of view, I may say, hey, well, what about if we did it this way? And if he says, no, that's not the way to do it, right? We're going to do it this way. Because of my trust in him, I'll probably go ahead and do it, and I'll obey what he tells me to do. And so when we think about obedience, when we obey the Lord, how many of you know there's times where we don't necessarily agree with what God tells us to do? How many of you have found that that might even be the normal for you, is that you don't always agree with what God has told you to do? So does it come down to whether you agree or whether you trust? Because you can still trust him and not agree. And so when I think about my faith in the Lord, it's often because of my trust for him. And Abraham was called by God. That's what it tells us. He was called by God. Is anyone in this place called by God? We're called by God. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Jesus calls us. He calls you, he calls me, and he calls us with a holy calling. When you think about the fact that it's a holy calling, what's special about that is it means it's a separate calling from what he calls the rest of the world. When you've become children of God, right, which you can only do through faith in Christ Jesus. When you become children of God, these children receive a calling that is different than the rest of the world. You know, I have different expectations for my kids, right? I wish your kids would behave too, but I have different expectations for mine, right? I let other people's kids get away with a lot more. You know why? They're not my kids. But my kids, I have a higher expectation. My kids, I'm like, hey, do it the way that I said to do it. Behave the way that I expect you to behave because they're my children. And this is kind of how it is with God. He's called us to a separate calling. He's called us to behave different than the world. And when we think about this word calling, some of you are like, well, I don't know what my calling is. I've never heard a clear, audible thing from the Lord. I've never necessarily, had a dream where God told me to do something specific. But listen, calling is simply an invitation. That word calling, it just means invitation. Jesus invites us to live differently because Jesus invites us to live like him. And Abraham was called. He was invited to go out to a place that would become his inheritance. He would receive it, but when he went, it said that he had to go by faith because he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. Can you relate to that, church? Following Jesus and not knowing where you are going. It's part of why I got issues with my obedience sometimes because I want to know, right? Just tell me where we're going. How many of you guys ever tell somebody to jump in the car, I'm going to go and show you something. And they're like, what do they want to know? Where are we going? Right? Am I going to end up in the bottom of a lake or out in the woods abandoned or are we going to Denny's? Like, come on, I'd like to have some insight. But Abraham has no idea. He follows God with this uncertainty. The same uncertainty that we have when we follow God where we don't know where we are going. But God called Abraham. In Genesis 12, it lays out this calling for us. It says, the Lord said to Abram, he said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. What an amazing calling. How many of you guys are going if you get a call like that? Right? You're like, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. But listen, he still didn't know where he was going. This is the beginning of Abraham's story. It's really all we know about Abraham besides who he descended from and who he married and who his nephew was. It's all you know at this point in the story, but it begins with the calling. And the beginning of that calling is get out. The beginning of that calling is you've got to go, Abraham. It's time for you to leave. Leave what is comfortable. Leave your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. But you got to get out. See, if you're going to go somewhere else, it means you got to leave where you've been. It means that there's a transition that takes place. And if you think about this from somebody like Abraham's standpoint, Abraham wasn't a boy. He wasn't a young man. Abraham was an old man. Older man, okay? He was an older man. He was about 75 years old at this point, and that means that he had a life. He had a life. Me and Christy like to watch this show called Blue Bloods. It's a police show, but they're always trying to get somebody to testify against some crazy person. And if you testify, you're probably going to die. Because their gang's going to take you out. So what do they always try to offer them? witness protection. We'll put you in the witness protection program. And when I was younger, I always thought it'd be so great to be in the witness protection program. Like as a kid, you know, I'm like, I'm not picking like Muncie, Indiana or Evansville, Indiana. Sorry, Susan. But I'm not picking someplace in Indiana. Like I'm going to pick like the tip of Florida, or I'm going to pick Hawaii, or, you know, can like anywhere that's cool, you know, somewhere that I'm going to go live a new life. Like, I think you get to do what you want to do for a living. I'm probably going to enjoy that time, and I would think about that, but it kind of hit me last night as we were watching a show, and it was this young man, and he's like, they're like, well, you can take your family with you. You can get a fresh start. And he said, but my life is here. He said, my life is here. It doesn't really matter that you're offering me a new life if I go somewhere else. He said, my life is here, and if I go or I stay, my life's over either way, right? And so he's like, I want to stay and not testify and keep what I've got. And I think about Abraham, it was almost like he was put in the witness protection program. Abraham, we're gonna move you to another country, and you're going to be a different person, right? You're going to act different, you're going to be different, and you're going to go somewhere different and do that. And for Abraham, that could not have been easy. Listen, God tells him to leave. This is a hard decision that a person has to make. But to go where God really wants you to go, you have to leave people, places, and things behind sometimes. God told Abraham, if you will do it, if you will leave those things behind, you can go to a land that I will show you. You can go to a land that I will show you. Now, for me as a kid, maybe you guys can relate. If my parents tried to bribe me, how many of you guys bribed your kids? Let's just be honest, right? If you do this, I will give you this, right? If you clean your room, you can have a piece of pie. Listen, if that pie's sitting on the counter, if I can see it with my eyes, that room will be clean in 5 minutes. But now if we don't have pie, and you try to tell me that if I clean my room, I can have a piece of pie, I'm like, go get the pie first. Let me see the pie. You bring it, let me see it, and then I might do what you tell me to do. Listen, Abraham didn't get to see the pie. It was just, go follow me to this place, and I will show you this land that I have for you. I'll show you the place, but if you'll go, God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You guys know great is your reward if you go to where God is leading you to go. Always. Great is your reward if you go where God leads you. But it requires you to obey, but not just to obey, but to obey by faith. If you want to receive what God has promised, you have to do what he tells you to do, but you've got to do it by faith. You've got to trust him. You got to have confidence in him. And Abraham's response in Genesis 12:4, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Okay, Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him. Church, he had such faith in God. He trusted God so much. He had so much confidence in God that as the Lord spoke to him, he departed. His feet were moving before God even finished laying out the details that he was giving him. And for you and me, I think that we look at that a lot of times and we think, well, there's got to be more to the story, right? Because when that happens with me, I argue with God a little bit. Right, we have a little bit of discussion, and I let him know my ideas and maybe some alternate plans that could work. And if we don't do that, we like to play that good old game with God. Let's make a deal, don't we? Come on. You guys know that you've done it. Let's make a deal. There are times when I think that we believe that God is the original host of Let's Make a Deal, because no matter how good his promises are, no matter how great they are, no matter how much they sound enticing, they look appealing, before we say yes, we usually want to know what's behind door number two. Right? Okay, that sounds good, God, and that sounds like a good promise, but can I see what the alternative could be. Like, maybe I would like that better, door number two. Church, can I tell you something that I realized this morning? I realized this morning. I don't want God's second best for me. I don't want to know what's behind door number two if God's the one that opened door number one. Why would I want plan B? Why would I want the thing that he's like, well, if you're too stubborn to do this, then I guess you can do this. Why would I want God's second best for me? But if you choose not to leave things behind in life, sure, you can still be saved. But listen, here's the thing, is you will never get to go to the place that God wants you to go in this life. You'll always have his second best plan at best. That's if you even say yes to door number two. Now, in my family, many of you know me well, so you won't think too little of me, but we're a little bit sarcastic and a little bit ornery when we get together, right, Katie? Okay? What we say, like if we're playing cards or something and you got close to winning, we say second place is the first loser. Okay? So it's just a little bit of like, you know, giving them a hard time, so maybe they'll be, you know, try a little harder next time, I don't know. But second place is the first loser, and when I think about that spiritually, listen, second place is loser. It's not loser as in you're worthless, it's loser as in you lost out on something that God had for you had you went with his first choice for you. If you choose door number two, you did lose out on something. You may not be a loser, but you did lose out on something that God has for you. But Abraham, we see he obeyed by faith. How about you? You obey by faith. It says back in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that by faith, then he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, church, he dwelt in the land. He dwelt in the land. He got to this place that God had shown him. Now for you and me, we think, man, you get there to where God has told you to go, like that's great. Hallelujah, this is going to be amazing. But it says that he then had to dwell there by faith. And I think, well, how hard is it to just stay there by faith? I mean, I've moved a couple of times in my life. I've never had to stay there by faith. It wasn't like I had to talk myself into going back there the next day. Like, man, I trust you, Lord, that this is still the place for me to live. I just took it like this is my house. This is now where I live. But Abraham had to stay here by faith. He had to make this his permanent residence by faith. Why? Why was the faith so important? Well, not only did he live as someone who was not like he was before, right? He's holy, he's called, he's set apart, he's to be different, but now he's got to do that in a place that is even more different than the place he was at that he had left behind, and all he had was one thing. A promise. That's it. All he had was a promise. He had this promise that he couldn't see in front of him. He couldn't see the piece of pie, right? He didn't have the incentive because of what he saw. He had the incentive because of the promise of God and his faith in God's promises. This promise required action on his part. And can I tell you that this is a promise that's too good to be true? Have you ever felt that way about the promises of God? That's too good to be true. This is a promise that's too good to be true if it hadn't been made by the God who had created it all. If it was made by anybody else, that's an impossible promise. It's a too good to be true promise. That'll never happen. That's impossible. But Abraham knew. This promise was made by the God who made it all. And so he had confidence and trust and faith in God that his promise would be carried out. Abraham, it can't be easy for him to leave things behind. It couldn't be easy for him to say, see you later, friends, family, job, whatever he's, everything that he's built his entire life. But listen, it's never easy to step out of your past and into a future that is unclear unless you do it by faith. Unless you do it by faith. And as hard as it gets to do that, see, we think that's the hard part. It's even harder to stay there. It's harder to stay there. It's harder to dwell in the land of the promise without seeing the promise fulfilled than it is to just go to the land of the promise. You guys know that when me and Christy, when God called us into ministry, you guys realize, and you know, I know Ben being an elder then, and Jason, Bud, like some of you guys that were in leadership then, you guys probably remember how easy of a decision that was. I was just like, okay, let's do it. And Christy was like, okay, let's do it. You know, I mean, it was just, it was easy to make that step by faith. Let me tell you what's been hard. Staying. And that's no reflection on you guys. That's a reflection on it's hard to stay where God has told you to go. Because you start to think about the what ifs, and you start to have doubts, and you start to have things happen where you're like, the grass is always greener on the other side, or it's greener in my old backyard, or all the different things that seem to want to draw you away. It's easy to take a big step by faith. It's harder to stay in the land that God has called you to stay in. It's just harder to do. That's just part of being a human. Especially when you're not seeing the promises fulfilled the way that you believe that they one day will be. But listen, once we get there, then what do we got? Right? What do we got once we get there, once the promise is fulfilled? We're like, well, guess we're done here, moving on, right? God is still at work. He's still doing things. And for Abraham here, he didn't see the fulfillment of the promise. But sometimes God is calling you out of something that you shouldn't be in anymore, so he can call you into something that's even better and greater. But you have to have faith in the waiting. You have to have faith in the waiting. You know, there's things that stick in your mind that are, they're really weird, and you're not sure why something sticks in your mind. But I remember Crystal used to clean the bathrooms a lot before, praise God, we started paying people to clean and letting us all off the hook. But Crystal used to clean the bathroom, and I remember this was probably 7-8 years ago. I remember her cleaning, and she always played music, and she didn't always know if I was here, and so I just sat in my office like this. I didn't want to scare her because I had done that to people too. But this song was playing, and it's called While I'm Waiting. And some of you guys probably know that. It's probably 8-10 years old. But it says, while I'm waiting, I will serve you while I'm waiting. And I will worship while I'm waiting. Church, that's the key right there is worship. Because see, what do we do when we can't see something physically in the natural? Right? First of all, you open your eyes. Second of all, look around until you find it. That's our natural response. But what about when we don't see things spiritually? What about when we don't see the things that God has promised? What do we do? How do we open our spiritual eyes? You worship. You worship. You put your focus, your attention, you set your heart on Jesus. You worship. That's our spiritual response. And this is the response that Abraham has. Genesis 12:8, it says, then he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Abraham goes to this place and he builds an altar. And if you continue reading through the story, he does this over and over and over. But an altar is a place of surrender. And when there's times where we don't want to do it anymore, where it's hard to dwell on the land, where it's hard to continue to have faith in what God has called you to do, the first thing we've got to do is surrender. And this is done at worship, at an altar. We offer our lives up to the Lord. We worship him. We call out to his name. We call out and we ask God, right? I surrender. Renew my faith. Restore my faith. Increase my faith, right? Speak the promise to me again. Reassure me. Get me back to that place of trusting in you having confidence in you. And Abraham here obeyed by faith. He dwelt by faith, and it was worship. It was worship that was the driving force that continued to stoke the fire of faith inside him so that he could keep obeying and that he could keep dwelling. Don't forget that he was 75 years old when he started on this journey. Don't forget that his wife was barren. Yet God had told him that he would make him a great nation. This means that he would have many descendants. Church, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God, but not every promise is fulfilled in an instant. You've got to worship while you're waiting. Genesis 13, verse 3 and 4, it says that, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Again, returns to worship as he continues on the journey, as he continues to wait, as he continues to dwell in the land, he comes back to a place of worship. Church, wherever this journey of life takes you, wherever it takes you, we've got to continually return to the place of worship. We've got to continually call on the name of the Lord, because that is how you dwell in the land. That's how you dwell in the land. And if you can dwell in the land, the way you receive the promise is you begin to receive the promise also by faith. About 24 years after this promise was given to Abraham, 24 years after God had told him, leave things behind and go out to this new land that I will show you. 24 years after his obedience and his dwelling, that God told Abraham, okay, your wife will bore a child. There's a lot of stuff that happens in between there I don't have time to get into. They tried to do it themselves, right, through his concubine Hagar, who birthed Ishmael. If you don't know that, if you haven't followed that all along, if you wonder why the rift between Muslims and Christians are so strong, it's Ishmael. That's where the line of the Muslim faith comes from. God said he's going to be a pain, right? He's going to be a pain. He's going to be against you. He's going to try to overtake you. Just read through it. I'd encourage you to read it for yourself. But we see that he's told this 24 years later, your wife who is barren will conceive and she will have a son. And if you know this story, we know that Sarah did what? She laughed. You know what Abraham laughed too? First. But we always think about Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. See, Abraham, I think he laughed because he's like, you know what? She's too old. And I think Sarah then laughed because she's like, you know what? He's too old. But they were both too old. They were too old to have kids. At this point, we're looking at close to 90 and 100, you know, for each of them. They're too old, but God made a promise. God made a promise. Listen, you're never too old for God's promise. It doesn't matter what it is. Some of you guys aren't going to sleep tonight. You're like, God, do not promise me that we're having more kids, right? We're done, all right? This is for Abraham, okay? But it says that in Hebrews 11 that by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. By faith. Somebody say, by faith. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Right? This was separate from Abraham's faith, but don't think for a second that it wasn't impacted or influenced or affected by Abraham's faith. Sarah, here we see, has her own faith. It says, Sarah herself by faith. Right? This comes back to the fact that, listen, there are things that you can receive by the faith of others, by the faith of your spouse, by the faith of your prayer partner. But listen, there comes a point in time where you got to have your own faith. There comes a point in time where you got to step it up yourself and believe in God for his promises for yourself. And so Abraham did what he had to do by faith. He did what he had to do, and he obeyed, and he went, and he stayed. But this story involves more than Abraham, right? If you're going to have kids, it takes more than just one, right? It takes more than just the man. So he's going to do his part, but it required Sarah to also do hers. And each person then had to have their own faith, just like we do now. There are times where we receive something based on the faith of others. Sometimes it's the faith of those praying. Sometimes it's the faith of someone who's believing, and when you're too weak to believe, when you feel like you just can't do it on your own. But I'm going to tell you, the bulk of your life is going to rely on your own faith. It's going to rely on your own trust in God, your own confidence in him. You've got to be responsible for yourself, right? You got to be responsible for yourself. You got to be responsible for your own obedience to the Spirit of God. You got to be responsible for your own receiving of what God has for you. By faith, Sarah herself received strength. She received strength. I like the translation of power a little bit better. I just like that word, power. Sarah herself, by faith, she received power. She bore a child when she was past the age, right? And you know, past the age is a nice way of saying she was too old to have kids. But do you remember what it said about Abraham? He was as good as dead, right? Okay, he was as good as dead. So she was past the age. He was really old. He was as good as dead. But by faith, it says that she conceived and bore a child when she was past the age. This is why she laughed when she first heard God's plan. And I think a lot of times we kind of forget about Sarah right there. We're like, well, last thing I remember about her was she laughed at God. How many of you remember stuff she really did after that? Not really. She just laughed at God, and I think it's ridiculous, you know, because I would never do that. But we think about the fact that she laughed at God, but here's the deal. There was a point in the time at sometime here that she applied faith. She thought, as ridiculous as that is and as much as it made me laugh, God made us a promise. And I believe that God is true to his promises. I believe that he's the creator of the world, and I believe that he can do anything that he says he will do. So she applied her faith. She had complete trust and confidence in God, and when she did that, church, she received power. Here's the thing about the power of God. The power of God is great because it gives you the ability to do something that you would not otherwise be able to do. Church, how many times do you think they tried to have children over the course of their marriage? How many times you're like, they're praying and wondering why and wondering when? And listen, they didn't have all the stuff we have now. They weren't going to get, like, you know, have the doctors do it for them or any of this stuff. They were just praying and trying, and you have to wonder how many times did that happen that they were not able to do it on their own. But by faith, she received the power of God, and the power of God can do anything in your life that you cannot do otherwise. The Holy Spirit, listen, is not limited to what you think you can do. Praise God. He's not limited to what you think you can do. Can I tell you that he's also not necessarily limited to what you think he can do, but he can be limited in your life because of your faith. He can be limited by your faith, and here's why. By faith, Sarah received power. Now, by faith, she received. When you think about receiving, right, I think about receiving like this, right, with my hands out, just like, you have something for me, I will take it, place it in my hands. That's how a lot of us think of receiving. Here's the thing, receiving right here, this word, this Greek word that was used for receiving, it means to take with the hand or lay hold of. It's not just a sit back in your chair and put your hands out. It's not like a present that you're going to be gifted, but it's something that you have the right to, but you have to actually lay hold of it. You actually have to take a step. That faith is that taking that step and grabbing a hold of what has been promised to you. See, you can have the right to something, yet at the same time, it doesn't include free delivery, right? It's not like you get everything from the Lord through Amazon Prime. Listen, I don't even know how to order stuff from other places. I'm like, what do you mean I have to pay for shipping? This is ridiculous, right? If I go to order something, I'm offended if I have to pay additional for shipping because I'm so used to not doing it. But we take that and we apply that to the Lord sometimes where it's like, I'm offended that I can't just sit here in my chair and say, Holy Spirit, you said you would do this, so my hands are out. Go ahead and lay it on me. Because there are times where we have to, by faith, we have to take some steps and move our feet and go and get what God has promised us. See, he likes for you and me to be involved. He likes for you and me to be active in our belief of what he said. Sometimes you have to want something just bad enough to go and get it. You have to want it bad enough to go and get it. Faith is the means for going and getting the power that manifests the promises. You have to say, I am going to do whatever I got to do. I'm going to go where I got to go. I'm going to say what I got to say. Lord, I am yours. What do I got to do? Because I will do anything to receive what you have for me. It's this belief that, you know what, maybe I can't, but I know that the Holy Spirit can. And because I know that he can, and I know that God has promised it to me, listen, I'm going to get up and go and get it. I'm going to go and get it. And if you can put that together, church, if you can look at this story of Abraham and of Sarah, and you can put it together and we can be obedient by faith, that, Lord, I will do what you say to do because I believe what you say is true. I trust you. I have confidence in you. And then when we get to where he's trying to show us to go, if we can dwell by faith, if you can stay there, if you can remain there, continue to believe, continue to trust, continue to have full confidence in him. Listen, church, then we get to the point where we can receive by faith because God is faithful. Amen. And if he's promised it, it is for you. And if you haven't received it yet, guess what? It's still for you, but maybe you got to go get it. Maybe you got to go get it. It's my biggest issue with altar calls. This isn't to single anybody out, but I don't like when we have an altar call and then in the foyer somebody's like, my back's hurt for 3 weeks. Why didn't you come and get it? Seriously, why didn't you come and get it? I believe that there's a thing that we've got to do sometimes where we have to, by faith, we've got to step out. That by faith, we've got to move our feet. And listen, I've been in those church services before where I'm like, and this was early in my faith, but where I'm in my chair and I'm like, okay, if God wants this to happen, he'll come to me. And you know what? Sometimes he will. Sometimes he will come to you, but sometimes he's waiting for you to come to him. Sometimes he's waiting for you, by faith, to come and get the promises that he has for you. Will you stand with me? I got some promises from the Word of God this morning. I want you just to close your eyes and to reflect on these things that are straight from the Scripture. This is a promise from God, and if it's a promise from God, listen, it's for you today. In this place, it says that he gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. If you are tired and weary, listen, today he can give you strength. But he also gives you rest. Maybe you feel like you're strong, but you're just tired. Today can be the day. Listen, he says he will give you rest. If you come to him, he'll give it to you. Full rest. It says that his love never fails. And if you today, if you've been hurt by people, you've been hurt by the church, you've been hurt by your own ideas about God or whatever that is, you need to know and believe and trust today that his love never fails. that he is constant in his pursuit of you, that he will continue to prove his love to you, not because he has to, but because he wants to, because it's genuine, it's pure, it's true, it's real love. The word tells us the Lord will fight for you, and some of you are in a battle. Some of you are in a spiritual battle, and you can't seem to make way. You can't seem to gain any ground. But listen, it says that the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Know that he's with you, that he's for you. Know that he will continue this battle. Know that he's already working in the spiritual realm where you can't even see. That maybe even the point where you're at that doesn't seem good enough, maybe you're only even right there, because he's been fighting for you and he will continue to fight for you. It says that the Lord will give wisdom to those who ask. Some of you are facing difficult decisions in life. You're not sure what to do. Ask him. Ask him. It says that he'll give wisdom. He'll do it without partiality, that he won't do it with favoritism, but he'll give it to all of his children who ask. Says that he forgives us when we confess our sins. Listen, if you've been carrying around something and you're like, why can't I shake this? I feel like I'm still under the weight of it. Come before him and repent. Says that he will forgive you and he will wipe away the past. He can do it today. He says that a promise is that your old self is dead if you're born again. That means you don't submit to that old self. That old self isn't in charge. Even if he keeps coming around, kick him out. The Lord says that person is dead. That's not who you are. It's who you were. It's not who you are now in Christ Jesus. It says that he will never forsake you. He's there. He's with you. He hasn't given up on you. Says that he offers you, he gives you eternal life if you will choose to follow him. And if you haven't made that decision in your life, today's the day. Choose to follow Jesus. Choose to consider whether it's a risk that you're willing to take. Do you trust him? Can you trust him for his promises? His word says that he will set you free. Hallelujah. He'll set you free. There's no bondage that's too strong. It's like God has supernatural bolt cutters. There's no chains that can weigh you down when they encounter the Spirit of the living God. It says that he'll meet all of your needs according to his riches. All of your needs. He can meet every one. It says he works all things for the good of those who love him. He'll work things out. Even if they don't make sense, he'll make them work to your advantage some way, somehow. And trust that he will make your path straight. For some of you, it's like you're on the fence. You're following the Lord, and then you're not, and then you are, and then you're not. Listen, he can make your path straight. He can show you the way if you'll be willing to follow him wherever he leads you. A promise is that he has prepared a place for us. Hallelujah. I'm ready for that place. But while I'm here, I trust in this last promise that I love and I cling to and I hold to, is this promise that Jesus is coming again soon. Amen? He's coming again soon. And so this morning, as we open up the altars, I just want to encourage you that today, if you have that need in your life, that today would be the day that you say, you know what? I'm going to come and get it. I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to lay it down before the Lord. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to receive what it is that he has for me. Come in obedience. Follow him in obedience every day, but dwell in that land by faith as well, that you can receive by faith. And we praise him for it this morning. In Jesus' name, let's worship him.